You're listening to the School Success Formula with me, Lucy Parsons. This is episode number 28. Hello and welcome to the show. Well, I hope you've had a fantastic Christmas and you're not too overstuffed with turkey and that you haven't got too much of a hangover or anything like that, and you're in the mood for thinking about how to make 2018 as successful as possible for you and your children. And that's what I'm going to be talking about today. So today's podcast is called How to Make a Success of Your New Year's Resolutions. Before we go into all of that though, I just want to remind you that to celebrate the podcast being 6 months old, I'm currently holding a giveaway. So everybody that leaves a review for the podcast on iTunes or in their podcast app before midnight on the 3rd of January 2018 will be put into a draw to win a signed copy of my study skills book, The 10-Step Guide to Acing Every Exam You Ever Take. Now, it's been absolutely fantastic reading some of the reviews that have been coming in, and they always bring a smile to my face because it really shows that all the hard work that I put into the podcast is paying off and it's actually helping people like you. So if you enjoy the podcast, if you get anything out of it at all, I'd really appreciate you leaving a review, because it brings a smile to my face, and I would love to give back more to you by putting you into this draw to win a copy of my book, The 10-Step Guide to Acing Every Exam You Ever Take. I will announce the winners. There's going to be three winners on the podcast, which is published on the 10th of January, but I need you to have left the review by midnight on the 3rd of January so that I can pick the winner and record the podcast intro to let you know whether it was you, and then have the podcast edited in time to be published on the 10th of January. So yes, please, please, please leave me a review, and you'll find instructions for how to leave a review in the show notes for today's show, which is lifemoreextraordinary.com/28. You'll find the instructions there if you're not sure how to leave a review. Okay, let's get on with today's show and thinking about how to make a huge success of 2018. So first, I wanted to talk about New Year's resolutions that have worked for me, because New Year's resolutions are probably the most common way that people set goals and intentions for the new year ahead. And I thought it'd be really useful for me to tell you about two New Year's resolutions that have worked sensationally well for me and kind of unpick them a bit so that you can understand why they worked. So the very first one is that I gave up chocolate for a year. So I made the New Year's resolution that I wasn't going to eat chocolate for an entire year. Now, the background to this was that at the time I was at university, and at about 11 o'clock every morning I would get hungry. And I would usually be in the geography department library, and they didn't have a cafe or anything in the geography department building. The only source of food was a chocolate machine in the basement. It was also a little bit social to go down there, because lots of people would break off from their reading in the library to go down and have a bit of a break around that time. So I got sucked into this habit of eating chocolate pretty much every day, and I realised what I was doing, and that it was quite expensive for me on my student budget. You know, a bar of chocolate, I mean, it wasn't the price back then that it is now, but it was still relatively expensive, and it was also unhealthy. So I decided to give up chocolate for a whole year. What I did to make this successful was that I went to Sainsbury's once per week to buy a bag of apples so that I could take an apple to the department with me every day, and I could still go and chat to the other students, so I didn't miss out on that social contact. But when they were buying chocolate from the chocolate machine, I was smugly standing there eating my apple. So that was the first resolution that really worked for me, and I'm going to unpick why it worked in a minute, but I'm going to tell you about the second resolution that really worked for me, and that was learning to like fish. So throughout the early part of my life, I hated fish. I wouldn't eat it. I would occasionally have fish and chips, and I was fairly partial to a little bit of smoked salmon. But most other forms of fish, I just wouldn't eat. The smell of it just turned my stomach. But I knew it would be healthy and good for me to eat more of it. So one year, I set myself the goal of eating fish once per week for the whole year to try and get myself accustomed to the taste. So to start with, I cooked the fish in strong curry sauces so that I could barely taste it. But by the end of the year, I was eating fish without any other flavours to disguise it, and I was actually enjoying it. And I've maintained that habit of eating fish about once per week ever since, and it's been over 10 years. So I've made a permanent change to my diet to make it healthier as a result of that New Year's resolution. So what can you learn from these successes? Don't get me wrong, I've made many other New Year's resolutions, including in 2017 when I said I was going to write down every book that I read in a little notebook. So I had a record of all the books that I was reading, and I failed. So I've just told you about these two resolutions because they're ones that worked, and I understand now why they worked. So why did they work? Firstly, they were really specific. So many people make New Year's resolutions like I'm going to lose some weight, or what a lot of students will say is I'm going to study more. And the problem with these resolutions is that you don't know when you've achieved success, and there is no imperative to do something about it today or keep doing something about it every single day for the rest of the year. Basically, there's no deadline, there's no target, there's no goal. So with the chocolate resolution, I knew that I would have achieved success if I hadn't eaten any chocolate for an entire year. In the event, I actually kept it going for 15 months because I got to the end of the year and I thought, well, I've done it this well, I'm not missing the chocolate, so I'll just keep on going. And I think it kind of happened by accident that I ate something that had chocolate in it that I didn't know would have chocolate in it in the end. So it was really easy for me to measure my success. You know, if I ate some chocolate, I'd failed. So if you're making a New Year's resolution this year, it needs to be really specific and measurable. I'll just add something in there about the nature of that resolution where I just said, I'm just going to give up that one thing. And when I read Gretchen Rubin's book, Better Than Before, which is all about making good habits and breaking bad habits, and I've written a blog post about it and I'll link to it in the show notes, she says that there are some people who really take very well to these kind of all or nothing goals. And I'm definitely one of those people. So if I say I'm not going to do something at all, then I find it really easy to stick to that. I'm much better at sticking that to kind of doing something in moderation, so I completely lose it from my life, and that's much better. And I've actually done that again this year. I've given up chocolate and I've given up alcohol because I was suffering from migraines very, very frequently, and a lot of the advice is that you should give up chocolate and you should give up alcohol. And that, combined with lots of other things like getting more sleep and some other medication, has actually made a huge difference to me. So what I'm really saying there is that you've got to understand your own personality and what's going to work for you. And if you're not like me and you're not the kind of person who can just say, well, that's just not a part of my life anymore, I don't eat chocolate, or I don't use Instagram or something like that, then you will find it harder to make those kind of goals. So there I was talking about the goals being really specific, or the resolutions being really specific, and that really helping. The second thing was that I had a plan in both cases, with both the chocolate and the fish. So with the chocolate resolution, I knew that I wouldn't be able to keep it if I didn't replace the chocolate with something else. Otherwise, I would be hungry and miserable, and no one wants to know me when I'm like that. So I needed a plan. And my plan was to go to Sainsbury's every week to buy this bag of apples so that I would always have something with me if I got a bit peckish and I needed a snack. So that was my plan, and it really, really worked. With the fish resolution, my plan was to repeatedly expose myself to the taste of fish by eating it every week until I learned to like it. So every week, my husband and I would sit down and create a weekly menu that showed, that included a fish dish. And then we go to the supermarket and we would buy the ingredients for everything that we had on the menu, including the fish dish. So he was there kind of keeping me accountable, and it was in his interest that I learned to like fish and that I ate fish because he enjoyed eating it. And we had this plan to have one fish dish per week. So let's think a bit more widely. Do New Year's resolutions need to be specific? If you're going to set yourself a resolution like losing weight or studying more, you really do need to quantify what you mean by that. So if I was working with a student who thought they wanted to study more, I challenged them to say, A, how much they were currently studying, so what's the benchmark from which they want to increase? B, how much more studying they thought they should do. So if they think they need to study more, how much does more look like? Is it just another couple of hours a week, or do they need to do 10 or 15 more hours per week, maybe if they're in year 13? And C, how they were going to make this happen. So you may know that you need to do another 5 hours study per week to reach your goals, but actually, if you don't make a plan about how you're going to happen and restructure your life to fit that in, it's not going to happen. It's just going to remain a good intention rather than something that does happen. So if I was working with a student who had this intention of studying more, I'd then work with them to create a weekly routine. And I've linked to my blog post all about how to create a weekly routine. And that routine would help to keep them accountable. It would make them think through how they were going to fit that studying into their life, whether there's something that they perhaps have to give up doing to make space for the extra studying. And then, like one of the students I'm working with at the moment, she's a year 13 student, and the first thing I did with her was to create a weekly routine. Ever since we did that, she has emailed me every single day to let me know that she is keeping to that routine. So I'm keeping her accountable to it, and it is working really, really well for her. So you do need to be specific if you've got that kind of resolution or intention. But there is a different way of framing goals for the new year. So I first came across this new idea of the word of the year, or having a word of the year rather than a New Year's resolution, from my artist friend in New York, Miriam Shulman. And I've linked to her website if you'd like to go and have a look at it. She does some really beautiful paintings that are available on Etsy if you're interested. And a few years back, she said that her word of the year was harmony, and that she intended everything she did, both work and family-wise, to resonate with the idea of her life becoming more harmonious. I really loved this idea, but I didn't take it on board myself until last year. So in 2017, I set my intention for the year to be growth. I wanted to achieve personal growth in many different ways, as well as to grow my business. In some ways, this could be measured by the number of email subscribers that I have, for example, or even by the amount of money that I make. But in other ways, it was a very subjective thing. You know, personal development, limiting beliefs, all sorts of things about me have changed over the course of this year. And I can definitely say that I have grown in many, many different ways. And I have really achieved my underlying intention, which was to grow. So for 2018, my word of the year is GoPro. And this came to me over a period of time. I kind of realized probably about 6 or 8 weeks ago that this would be my intention for 2018. And I've kind of been slipping away from the growth idea into this GoPro idea over those weeks. And yeah, I know it's not a word itself, it's two words, but you kind of get the idea. It's my intention. So up until this year, I haven't had 100% confidence that my business could become the kind of success that I wanted it to be. And if you listen to last week's podcast, where I talked about how important parents are, I give you a little bit of the history behind my business, and you can hear how it's evolved over time since March 2015, when I first started my blog. But in 2017, I have proven to myself that my business really can be what I want it to be. And this means that I really have to show up and formalize the systems and processes behind the scenes that have been slightly less than professional over the previous years. So I no longer see myself as a stay-at-home mum having a go at this. It's for real, and I want everything about it to be professional, not just the surface customer-facing aspects. So yeah, if you're in my Facebook group or you receive my weekly emails, you probably already think I'm quite professional. I do occasionally make mistakes, like some of you may remember the time where I forgot to change the subject header of my emails twice in 1 week from new broadcast to something more interesting than that. But most of the time I show up and I think I'm pretty professional in everything that I do, but some things behind the scenes aren't as professional and aren't as slick as all the things that you see. And it really is my goal for 2018 to go pro in every respect in my business. So I would love to know, for both you and your child, what you think you would choose as your word of the year. Is it something that you think could work for you? So there are other successful ways of achieving targets and goals. And you may remember that back in episode 21 of the podcast, I interviewed Shola Alabi about how she'd used goal setting to help her family move forwards. And I took the ideas that she shared, and over the last half term of 2017, I've been using them very, very successfully in my own family. So this is how I've used them. My husband and I had both noticed that my five-year-old son's handwriting wasn't great because he didn't know the correct letter formation for most letters. We set him a goal of practicing a letter every day, and he embraced this really enthusiastically. It has been absolutely transformational for his writing. We finished all the small letters, all the numbers, and all the capital letters by Christmas, and his writing is now better than many grown-ups I know. The icing on the cake was when a teacher from another school visited my son's school and said that she'd never seen such good writing from a five-year-old boy. And that is entirely down to the hard work that he and I have put into it every single day over the last 6 or 7 weeks. So my daughter's goal was to practice the piano more regularly. She's been learning the piano for about 2 years, and she practiced relatively often, but sometimes it was a bit hit and miss. So we set her the goal of practicing for 10 minutes every single day. She has missed one day because she was off school with a high temperature, but she's done it uncomplainingly every other day. And her piano teacher really can't praise her enough for the progress that she has made. And it's all down to her consistent hard work. And it is giving me so much pleasure. I walked in at the end of one of her piano lessons recently, and she was playing The Holly and the Ivy, the Christmas Carol. And it sounded almost like a professional piano player could be playing it, because she had all the left hand and the right hand working at the same time. There are quite complex rhythms in that piece of music, and she just got it. And I was just like blown away and humbled by what she'd managed to achieve over the last few weeks. So at the same time as my children have been working on these goals, my husband and I have also had goals. I've been watching a TED talk every day to pursue my dream of doing one myself. And you may have read my blog post where I talked about how I'd applied to do 2 TED talks in 2018. Unfortunately, I was rejected by both TEDx organisations, but I'm still determined that I do want to do it, and I'm going to keep going with my goal of doing a TED talk. But I've kept that going even after I was rejected by both of the organisations, because I'd made this commitment. The children had committed to doing their goals, and so I had to maintain my commitment at the same time. And there have even been nights where I've realised at kind of the time when I would normally go to bed that I haven't done it yet for that day. And what I've done is I've sat down and I found a really short TED talk and watched it before I've gone to bed, so I can tick that day off on my chart. And, you know, I'm keeping to the goals in the same way that the children are, and I'm not letting them down. My husband has also been maintaining his goal of running 3 times per week, even though he has had to take a bit of a hiatus because of the snow and bad weather we've had. But when it's been safe and possible for him to run, he has done it 3 times a week. So working together as a family in this way has worked spectacularly well in keeping all of us accountable. We're all working towards specific goals, specifically chosen for our needs, but because we are all doing it, we feel the need to maintain our good habits, because otherwise we would be letting the other members of the family down. And if one of us gives up, then there's no reason why another one should give up as well. I should also say that it's also taken quite a lot of willpower on my part to help the children maintain their goals. You know, sometimes my son, who, as I've said before, is only 5, has come home from school and he's been tired, and I can see how tired he is, and we haven't done the letter of the day, and I think, oh dear, it's going to be a real uphill battle to do this today. But I've done it with him and we've kept going, and only about once or twice have we had an argument about it. Every other day he's been willing and happy to do it and has had a huge sense of achievement out of it. So as a parent, if you're going to do this, you do probably need to shoulder some of the willpower and some of the determination to do it, but I think it will pull you together as a family and it will drive you forwards in achieving so much more than you would otherwise, because you're all doing it together and you're all accountable to each other. So if your child needs to work on something specific or get more consistent or form some good habits in 2018, I'd highly recommend using this approach of setting family goals in 2018. So over to you. Having listened to this podcast, I'd love to hear from you about your New Year's resolutions, word of the year, or family goals. So which one have you chosen? A resolution, a word of the year, or doing family goals? And why did you choose them? I'd love to hear from you, and you can get in touch with me in all sorts of different ways. So on the show notes page, which you'll find at lifemoreextraordinary.com/28, there's a space to leave comments at the bottom of all the information or the blog post that goes with this audio recording. So I'd love to see a comment from you in there. Or if you're already in my Facebook group for parents, it's called the Supportive Parents Successful Students Facebook community. You can just post in there and let me know what you think. You can also, if you're not already a member, join that. I'd love to have you in there. Or if you're a Twitter user, just tag me in a tweet. I'm at Lucy C. Parsons. Or if you're just really old-fashioned, just email me at lucy@lifemoreextraordinary.com. And I really, really would love to hear from you. In that way, in the way of leaving a review as well. So remember what I said at the beginning of the podcast about leaving a review. And you could win a signed copy of my book, but you need to do that by the end of the 3rd of January. So I just want to round off by saying, if you've really enjoyed this podcast, but you're not sure that you can put these things in place on your own in your family, and you need a little bit of more support, I'd love you to consider joining my study skills course for students and parents, which is called the Exam Success Formula. It's so much more than a course simply about study skills. It's about creating good habits, knowing what you're working towards and why, and communicating more effectively as a family. The course will start again on the 20th of January, and registration close on the 19th of January at 9 p.m. But I really would highly recommend signing up beforehand, as there's a bonus module that's available to you the day after you sign up about getting organised. And I know last time round, a lot of people left it right till the last minute to sign up, and then they got that bonus module and then they got the week one materials all at the same time. So they had twice as much work to do in that first week. So don't leave it right until the very last minute. If you're interested in it, please do sign up early so that you can make the most of all the materials and you don't feel rushed and hurried. And really, this period between Christmas and New Year and before going back to school is the perfect time to start thinking about how to get organised for 2018. So that module will fit in beautifully. If you've got any questions about the course, I'd love to hear from you. I will be incredibly honest about whether I think it's right for you. So for example, for the vast majority of year 13s, I don't think the course is right for them. However, well, that's because of the time commitment they simply have towards their studying, and the fact that the course takes up a couple of hours per week. However, a year 12, a year 11, or a year 10, this is really, really great timing for them to do the course. So I'd highly encourage you to sign up for it in that instance. But if you're at all doubtful, if you've got questions, you just want reassurance, then send me an email and I promise that I will be very, very honest. I have turned away a lot of people who I don't think are right for the course, because it wouldn't be right to take your money and use your time in this way if you're not going to get the full benefit from it. Okay, well, that is the end of the last podcast of 2017. Thank you so much for joining me on my podcasting journey this year. It's been one of my greatest achievements of 2017 to produce a podcast episode every single week for 28 weeks. That is really quite amazing because it has been amazingly hard work. So thank you for listening. Happy New Year and goodbye.